Welcome to the Community Conversations podcast, where we believe that world transformation begins with gospel transformation, and gospel transformation begins with discovering the truth about who God is and who you are. And it starts right now.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Community Conversations podcast. I'm here with Noah Chant.
It's been a while.
It has been a while.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
I almost didn't remember what you looked like when I came in. I said, hey, who are you?
I had to send you directions to my house.
Yeah. It's been a bit. It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute. How's your summer been?
Great. Had a baby, which you know. Been really good. All building stuff, basically just getting ready to be in the building.
Yeah.
And getting that done. We took the staff in the walkthrough today.
That was so fun.
Yeah, it's really, you know, I don't know what my expectations were, I can be honest, but they exceeded them.
Yeah.
Whatever they were. And so it's been really great. I think it's, you know, it's coming along. It's beautiful. There's just something about new stuff that makes you, you know, you buy a new rug for your house or a new couch and you just feel like you got a whole new house.
Yeah.
And there's something about new stuff that just makes you feel new and fresh and excited and ready to roll. And so, yeah, I'm that's kind of been what I've been up to, is just managing and helping with all that and doing what I can.
Yeah.
I'm a real Bob the Builder type, so I've been over there, you know, hitting
walls.
You've
done a lot of the manual labor.
I pretty much built the whole thing top to bottom myself over a weekend.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, that's exciting.
How's your summer been, Brian?
Well, we also had a baby.
Yes.
So we're one of maybe five this year.
Yeah, six church. Total.
Okay.
Six.
Yeah. Having all boys.
All boys.
Yeah.
All boys.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So any young girls around their age being born this time at our church are going to
have a plethora.
Plenty of options.
Plenty of options.
Yeah.
Plenty of options.
Yep. Tons of boys.
Honestly, could create some juicy animosity between all the boys.
Sure.
If there's like one or two girls and seven of these boys.
Yeah.
Who gets what? who gets the stuff? Who gets left the scraps?
So, yeah. Yeah, we're just in that newborn life right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been good.
Awesome.
So for all our listeners, we are, as we're coming out of summer, our communities are going to start picking up again. And we've had a couple, maybe 6-8 weeks off, something like that for the summer.
Yeah, about seven.
We're going to start with that being, with that starting up again. We're going to spend several weeks just talking about the idea of community and the topic of community. And we'll come at this from a few different angles. And Noah even preached yesterday on community with Christ specifically.
Yeah.
So with this episode, we're gonna talk about, we decided we're going to call this community, not communities.
Yeah.
And the idea being that the purpose of having communities is not just for the sake of having communities.
Right.
It's not just a program.
Right.
It's not something to just entice people and get them in the door. Rather, it is an outlet and an avenue for us to continue pursuing the type of community that is actually, that we're meant to live for.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, communities are meant to be a bridge builder into, you know, true community with people, you know.
Right.
The thing that set the early church apart, you know, was community and finding a way to move past, you know, it's an old scripture and it's often overused, but it still rings true of to love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
And what does that mean, like, in reality?
Yeah.
Because I don't. I can tell you that. You
sure.
know what I mean? And so what does it mean to put people on a even playing field with my own value of self?
Sure.
Can I bring others up to the value that I have for my own self?
Right.
Or is everyone kind of below me?
Sure.
You know, are all my conversations to somewhat try to find a way to communicate and validate myself? Or is it to engage with people on who they are? You can tell a lot by a lot about a person by if the whole time they're talking with you, they talk about them.
Sure. Yeah.
It's just the reality.
Right.
You can tell, like, man, you really love yourself, don't you? Good yeah. for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
You know?
And the hard part, too, is the solution to that is not to love yourself less.
Right.
It's to love others more.
Right.
And that can be a hard thing, too.
Yes, very much so. Yeah, very hard because, you know, the issue that we face is that if I think, you know, and this is common, you know, outside of Christianity, too, is the issue we can often face sometimes is if I am true to myself, to others, I will automatically be rejected.
Sure.
And so if I bring someone into who I am, it's just going to lead to disappointment.
Mm.
And we've talked about this, I think, on a previous episode, but there's a reality of, two, to love your neighbor as yourself means that you have to learn how to love yourself correctly and well.
Right.
And most people don't do that either.
Right.
Their love is actually a mechanism used to just keep them from hating themselves too much.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Thinking about even just the title, community, not communities, it is possible, and I know this is true because I think we've done this before, just because there are so many different models for community,
mm-hmm.
different models for small groups, that it's possible to have communities without having community.
Yeah.
And that's why we're calling it community, not communities.
Right.
Because it's not communities for the sake of having, like I said, it's not just about having a program.
No.
Having
no.
something to get people plugged into, but it's actually about experiencing true family.
Well, yeah, and life together, you know, and this is what, you know, kind of goes a little bit with what I spoke about on Sunday, and I've, you know, talked about this a couple times, but the interesting thing, I've been watching a lot of, like, shows based in, like, early 1920s England, and the reality of that era and that time is that people just did life together.
Yeah.
You just knew people. You were in on there, and sometimes that included your dirt
mm-hmm.
and your, you know, your drama. And your issues and your tea. But there's also a reality of they were just engaged in your life. You did community events together. Your kids played together. Like you know, it's a rarity now. I've seen your daughter meet up with kids in the neighborhood, go to their house. They go to your house. They play out in the yard. That really doesn't actually happen as much as it used to.
Right.
There is really no community like there used to be, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it's actually one of the draws of travel sports for kids in the South.
Sure.
And why parents can maintain, you know, a travel schedule that's, you know, 20 weekends a year of, or, you know, however long, is there is, they feel like they're a part of something.
Mm-hmm.
The other parents are there. They're, you know, they got their tents and their maybe barbecues and snacks, and they're running through this whole process. There's an identifier there.
Yeah.
And, you know, really we are designed to live in, if we're designed to live in communion with Christ, we're designed to live in community with others.
Right.
You know, the idea of multiplication in Genesis is that people would grow in union and family and community with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the hope is, you're right, is that it's not some form of, hey guys, here's just something to kind of pass the time, come to this event, you know what I mean? It's this little thing. It's actually meant to pull out the gold in you while also keeping you accountable for the gold you want to see.
Sure.
And that is very challenging in today's world to have community from that perspective.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it is. But yeah, you're right. And people love gathering around common...
Yeah, like common things.
Common things.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking about, like, you're right, like the travel teams.
Yeah.
Because what happens is these families, they end up getting to know each other really well, and they are gathering around this thing that they love.
Right, right. It's like college football. If you go to an LSU yeah. game, there are people there that have been tailgating as a family for 30 years.
Right.
And you can walk up and tell them this is your first time at LSU game. They'll invite you in. They're doing crawfish boils. They got, you know what I mean, drinks. They got their whole thing going on. You come in, you eat with them, talk with them. It's a whole life.
Yeah.
You know, that they've been doing, their granddaddy did, now their dad did, now they're doing. It's this whole thing that they do. And at the end of the day, like, is the smartest thing to probably spend thousands of dollars sitting in the parking lot of Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, spending hundreds of dollars on, you know, crawfish and corn and potatoes? And, like, no, probably not. there's probably way better use for that money. You know, people could probably go to Paris for 3 weeks with what they spend a year, you know, tailgating. But it's you're a part of something. And so money, time, equipment, anything, you kind of don't mind ever doing that stuff when you feel a part of something.
Right.
None of that stuff matters like it used to.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so we've kind of taken that concept and have said, hey, what if we were to gather around Jesus?
What if we did something crazy and we gathered around our faith? Radical idea.
Crazy concept.
Other than the New Testament, you can't see it. It's just in the New Testament.
Yeah.
But yeah, like what if we got back to, and here's the ever-present reality that we live in. You're never going to be in totality what the Acts Church was.
Yeah.
You have to look at the nuance of the era, the day, the time. Okay, if that's fine. It's the same with looking like Jesus. No one's asking every person to be a second century Jewish man.
Right.
Right? But if we're supposed to look like Jesus, that means what would Jesus look like as a man born in the 2000 or the 1990s, living life now today? Same thing with, okay, if we're called into community with others based upon Christ, and this is how it was done there, how do we model that closely and well?
Right.
In our time and day.
Right. Yeah, because I think it would be so unbelievably countercultural and against the grain to do some of what they did.
Yeah.
As opposed to how it would have been, you know, for them in that time.
Sure. And there's persecution, there's different things like you know, there is a truth of, well, you know, the early church never met as a whole church. They met home to home. Yeah, cuz they die. It doesn't mean we get rid of home gathering. I think it's important, but well, part of that's because they were being slaughtered.
They probably would have loved a place where they could freely gather.
And I know Rome would have loved for them all to gather up in one big place. So they could scoop them all up.
Yep.
You know, and so you become, oftentimes you serve Christ in your environment. It doesn't mean like you changes how you serve him, but you find what it means to be like Christ in the environment in which you are in.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's hard for us to get past the idea of just, I think, the kind of, hey, how are you? My kids do that too.
Yep.
And move into the, like, how's your marriage?
Right.
How's, like, how's your family? Like, how are you guys?
Right.
Life's hard right now. Economy's, you know, kind of skyrocketed. How you guys holding up? You know, how's fear and anxiety in your home? How are, how have you been?
Yeah.
How is motherhood? How's fatherhood been?
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yeah, it's, it, and that can be a hard thing. It's so easy to just gather casually.
Yeah.
And it's a hard thing. It is.
To make
that leap into the, which we'll talk about in the future, but just being more vulnerable and open and honest and letting yourself be seen and known and working through things together.
Yes. And a lot of times it's because of past experiences where it's not gone well.
Sure.
You know, and I think we've talked about this multiple times, but past experiences don't get to dictate the truth of reality. You know, it's how you get, you know, theologies like cessationism, you know, it's built out of a disappointment of not seeing what you feel like you want to see out of Scripture.
Right.
But our disappointments don't get to change Scripture.
Right.
And past hurts you've had with people and how they have mismanaged and misused your trust and your vulnerability doesn't change that you're called to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do it today.
Yeah.
But it's something you need to be working towards.
Right.
You know what I mean? As a whole.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something that should be part of the vision for what we're building.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard. And the thing is too, and I made this caveat too. I think the other lie is, you know, community is not mean that everyone gets every piece of you either.
Right. Yes.
You know?
Yep.
We talked about the modeling of Jesus models, like what he gives to the 1,000 and the 5,000 and what he gives to the 72 and then the 12 and then the 3. Now every group gets a little more of him. You know, the 12 didn't go up on the Mount of Transfiguration, just the 3.
Right.
You know, and then John kind of alludes to he's the one.
Right. Yeah.
Out of the 3.
Yep.
And so it doesn't mean everybody gets every piece of you, and you need to be able to. The hard part is we are really good at identifying the 72, sometimes the 12, but never the 3.
Sure.
We can identify 72 people that we get along with. They're part of my church or this or that. Great.
Yeah.
I have 12, you know, girlfriends. I got 12 buds. We watch football. We do this. We, you know, all these things. Mm-hmm. Who are the 3 that you tell, like, hey, like, it's not going well?
Right.
My marriage, my finances. Mm-hmm. I need prayer. I'm watching pornography.
I'm scared. I'm mentally scared. I'm mentally having a hard time.
I have anxiety every night. I go to bed. I can't sleep.
Yep.
And who do you walk through those things with? Because most of us are carrying those burdens alone.
Right.
Or we're telling our spouse with the expectation that our spouse won't respond with any way to help or fix them.
Right.
Which also isn't very helpful.
Yeah.
You know, and so like we need those people.
Yeah, you're right. It shouldn't be everybody, but it also shouldn't be nobody.
Right. Right. You need to be able to identify your 12 and your 3.
Yeah.
And you're 1. And hope most people, that's their spouse. That's great.
Yeah.
My spouse is my 1. You know what I mean? She knows things about me nobody else knows. If I'm struggling, she's the first person I tell and go to.
Right.
But I do have outside people like you. You know, I'd call you one of my 3, one of the Trace. That's what I call you. No, it's Trace. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, you'd be one that I would, you know, tell, like, hey, like, this is not going well for me right now.
Yeah.
My life or my marriage or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so you need people to do life with, because it's too hard to do alone.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And through Christ, life is an incredible experience. But when hard things happen, they're not made to be walked out alone.
Right. Yeah.
And that only comes from intimacy. And really, communities for us is a way of hopefully gathering people together to give them space over time to create that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I think in order to identify, you know, who might be your 3, it could be 3, it could be 4, you know, 5, but who are the few people that you know would actively root for you? Because there's also, mm-hmm. I think it can be really easy to develop a sense of like, and this can come through, you know, insecurity, orphan thinking, but a sense of like competition almost.
Yeah.
Of believing that maybe there's not enough for all of us to thrive.
Right.
Or there's not enough for all of us to succeed and be promoted and, you know.
Yeah.
And so you need to have people in that small circle who you know are actively rooting for you.
Yeah, and want the best.
Who want the best for you.
And I think it even ties into the idea, too, that being in community doesn't always mean everything that you have with someone's like-minded.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and I can't think of a better, you know, paradigm for that than like the idea of parenting.
Sure.
We have different, me and you have different thoughts on parenting, mm-hmm. but my hope is not that yours don't succeed so you see mine.
Right.
My hope is that yours succeed so you love your kids and your kids get to love you and y'all enjoy each other.
Right. Yeah.
I don't go, man, I hope Brian's whole parenting thing just falls through and he goes, no, I was wrong. Come to the well. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, or, oh man, Brian's using this type of saving money, not the way I am. I hope he loses everything and he has to come to me now.
Right.
Just because we have different philosophies doesn't ever mean I'm rooting for you to fail. I'm actually, hopefully, rooting that you succeed so that you get the life that you are hoping for.
Right.
And I support that and I go, yeah, love it, man. Like, I hope that's everything that you want.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't come at the fault of me having a different opinion or doing it a different way. And I'm not so insecure that I'm okay that somebody doesn't see it the way I see it.
Right.
You know, and that's a real challenge for people.
Yeah.
You're like, I want to be in community with you, but you've got to do it the way I do it.
Right.
Or we're not going to do it together.
Yeah.
And some things don't go. Like, mm-hmm. you're not going to have community with a Satanist. I get it.
Right.
You know, it's never going to happen that way.
Yeah.
You know, but like, there's no reason that a mom that spanks and a mom that doesn't can't be best friends.
Right.
There's no reason that a guy that likes football and one that doesn't can't be, you know what I mean? Like, it's mm-hmm. All these external things are not always the determining factors of intimacy.
Right.
With people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That comes back to, and we've talked about this, but there are different tiers of like value or belief.
Yes. Yeah, and like so, essentials.
The essentials. Like we tend to gather around the essentials.
Yeah.
And the further you move down, the more it's okay to have disagreement.
Yes.
And it doesn't really affect
right
hardly anything.
Right, know? Exactly. And, you know, and the thing is, like, it's, and this is hard, is being vulnerable enough with someone, too, that when something you've been convicted by isn't true, you go, hey, like, I've been going like this or doing this, and it's actually turned out not to be true for me. And I just want to walk with someone through this. And that's hard too,
mm-hmm.
is being vulnerable of when you're wrong and when you're right.
Sure.
You know, all these things. And those are not about essential beliefs. Those are just doing life with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard. Me and Bailey have had tons of hard conversations about things to do with Benjamin where I'll go, you know what? I think you're right on that. Or she'll be like, you know what? I think you're actually more right on this idea. And it's hard, but like, we're not going to go, well, I think we see this different. We should probably get divorced. I think we see like when to allow him to watch this or do that. It's different. So I don't think it's going to work out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You root for the other one and you support the other one and you go, we're just going to do it. Do yeah. life together anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good.
I try.
You look great, by the way. You look like you just came back from LSU.
Yeah, you know, I'm interviewing for a coaching job. Ministry is not working out the way I thought it would. So I thought I'd give football coaching a try. Yeah, no, this is a meeting day, so just been everywhere and anywhere today.
Yeah,
so.
I know. We both dressed casual for this one.
It's summer.
It is summer, and it's hot.
It's hot outside.
Yeah.
You know, we've got, you know, fall for me starts in 3 weeks when college football kicks off. So I've got 2 or 3 weeks until fall gets here. I'm just going to enjoy these last couple weeks of summer before, you know, August 30th. And that's for me is the end of summer.
Yeah.
It dies that day.
Is it hard for you to call it fall if it stays hot?
Yeah.
Through that?
It is. But one of the joys of predominantly working at home is I keep my house normally stays about 67 degrees.
Okay.
So it's always pretty chilly.
Yeah.
So if I look outside and imagine that what's happening outside is the same temperature of what's happening inside.
Sure, you can get there.
Yeah, but it is hard. I hate it.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I hate about this city.
Yep.
Is the heat.
Yeah, it's hard.
If we had like, you know, I just wish that summer was like May to July. I wish that was the hot months.
Yep.
And then August, we like transitioned from like 90 into like mid to low 60s.
Oh, wow.
And then
you skip right over like the 70s.
We don't need those. We don't need those. Then September, October was like 60 through 40.
Okay.
And then November through February was like 30 to minus 10.
Okay.
That's if I was playing God.
Yeah.
That's how it would be. But everything would be sectioned off. Like you get your time.
Sure.
Because here's what's going to happen. It's going to be 80. And then the last day of November, it's going to be 9. And then it's going to be 9. And then the week of Christmas is going to go back up to 60.
Mm-hmm.
And then in February, it'll be 4.
Yeah.
That doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Like, I want August to be the month where the earth just cools.
I agree. In my head, and probably because I grew up in Chicago, to me, August is that month where it starts.
Right.
We start dipping
you're
into
a northerner.
The low 80s and the 70s.
Yeah.
And
like that. To me, a fall, like going to a pumpkin patch with shorts on should be illegal.
Yeah.
I always propose the idea of what if we like pushed the year back? Like what if we put 3 Julys in?
Yeah.
I know it would ruin everyone's calendars, pay structure, the whole everything would explode. But even down south, if we put 3 straight Julys, 3 back-to-back Julys,
yep.
And then August was actually like
October. Yeah.
And then Christmas was more like February or March.
Yeah.
I think we'd be right on. I think we need to keep moving the year with the weather.
Well, if there can be different parts of the country that do daylight savings and some that don't.
Right.
To me, it's not that far off to just say, hey, we're going to push the month back.
Yes. I wonder if I could just do it in my brain and just now switch the year. Like, I'm like, can't believe it's June, you know, when really it's August. Because I hate it.
Yeah.
Like we went to, you know, we're fall festival people. You know, we go to, you know, Kettner's Mill or Prater's Mill and different things.
Yeah.
And last year I had to go to one of them in shorts.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
No.
That's never okay. And for me, it's like this. I'm either going to live in Florida or I'm not.
Sure.
I'm either going to become a beach guy or I'm not. I'm either going to only wear Tommy Bahama shirts or I'm not. So either it's going to be always hot and I'm going to wear sandals, Tommy Bahama shirt, have a Jeep with no top on it.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to get all four seasons. I can't live in the in-between of those two. And I live in a state where it's like, we're not cold like the North. We're not hot as Florida.
Yep.
You know, we're just somewhere in between.
Yeah. And then even we'll have days where it's like you wake up and it might be 45 degrees outside, but by 1 o'clock, it's about 80 again.
Right. It was 64 this morning. I woke up 64, made coffee, sat on my back patio and just enjoyed that. It was just like just a perfect day.
Yeah.
And then now that it's lunch, it's hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So this was a bit of a shorter episode, but I think this was a good segue kind of back into things and to introduce the topic for the next couple months or a couple weeks.
Yeah, just, you know, the idea that I think community is meant to be based in intimacy, not shallow conversation.
Right.
Not with all.
Of course. And of course it starts there for everybody.
Right.
But
of course.
But if the vision isn't eventually to get to that point to where you actually like know, you don't just know, you know, some random trivia about me, but you actually know how I'm doing.
Right.
Right. That's kind of the end goal.
And the reality is like, okay, and here's what I would say to people today. Can you name your 12, your 3, and your 1? And if you can't, can you begin the process of identifying them and working towards that deep place of intimacy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, hopefully your 12 is your community. Maybe you had that before you got into communities. That's great, too.
Yep.
But hopefully you're starting to identify your 12, your 3, your 1, and you're beginning to walk life a little deeper with people.
Yeah.
I promise you'll find deeper meaning and enrichness in your own life by doing that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's good.
Awesome.
All right, Noah. Thanks.
It's good to be back. It's like riding a bicycle.
Great to be back. Hop awesome. Right back on.
Yes. I'll see you in June this week.
All right, everybody, that's it for this episode. So we appreciate you. Thank you for listening and thank you for watching, and we'll see you next time.